It's Tuesday, January the 28th. Welcome to the Extra Point Podcast. Glad you've jumped on board and are listening in. And we have got a slate of questions that came in from the previous weekend. And I'm excited to answer those and address those, bring some insight into those questions. You know, these are in addition to the three that we took in the service. And so I love all the questions surrounding stewardship. That is the series we wrapped up on Sunday. It was called Stewardship Simplified. So these questions here are all going to revolve around that subject, and some of them even about the various texts that we looked at. Now, because we have so many, because some of them are going to take a little longer to answer, I want to do this. I'll answer one question today, and the reason is because I think it pertains to last week's podcast as well. So I want to really focus on that, bring some insight and some information to that question. Then we'll do three on a special podcast released Thursday, and then we'll do four on Friday. So we've had an extra eight questions come in. I'll take one today. We'll do three Thursday. We'll do four Friday. So be listening in to two extra episodes of this week's Extra Point Podcast. Now, the podcast last week dealt with some specific ways to steward our children. That was the real focus in our third week of stewardship. And one of the things that I really mentioned was that families should take a long, hard look at how they're spending time with their children, how they're fashioning their children, who is spending time with their children. One of the things I mentioned was how you school your children. And I just mentioned that it is wise to examine your choices in that area, talk specifically about the public school system and the ideological evil that exists within that. So I got a number of good comments and some really good, you know, I think helpful pushback, even some good feedback. So I want to talk about that more today. Here's a question that I think kind of embodies some really good conversation around that, all right? So this is what the person asked. I really appreciate the question. Love the way it's asked. This person says, for families passionate about having their children in the public schools, how can we as a body of believers practically encourage them with their decision instead of possibly isolating them with their decision? So it's a really humble spirit, and I love the way he says the word we, so he wants to be part of this discussion. And I would say that's probably my first answer or my first bit of insight is what he's doing here. He's really bringing the conversation to the forefront. He's wanting to talk about it. Hey, here's some families who are passionate about enrolling their kids in the public school system. Those were his words. And so how can we encourage them in that decision instead of possibly isolating them? So I think one of the ways that we can prevent and avoid and fight against isolationism or being isolated is to make sure we have conversation. And so on that level, let me say, I don't think it's wrong for us to encourage people to examine their educational choices. And this person writing this question is not saying that. I want to make sure that we understand that last week we did encourage those who are utilizing the public school system to examine that and to regularly evaluate, is this the best option? Now, for those that arrive at that decision, fantastic. I think there's freedom in our education choices. Now, some would even disagree with that. And I have friends who don't think we have freedom there. I think that's an area of freedom that we have to make choices in. However, we must make those choices with discernment. And let's be honest, those choices can change. In fact, those choices can change from generation to generation. And so just as those who disagree, let's say with me on this point, that that's an area of freedom, we stay involved in conversation. And so I would encourage those who continue to enroll their kids in public schools, which is what we did, by the way, with our four kids. They continue in the conversation about examining and evaluating how things are going in that system. Now, I did mention last week, too, the idea of an ideological cesspool. And some, I think, even may have been close to offended by that. They may have felt that was a little over the line. They were talking about how there are good teachers in these schools. There are good administrators, that there are Christian students in those being a light. And I don't deny any of that, which is why I chose the words ideological cesspool. Now, admittedly, I think I used that phrase twice, and the second time I left the word ideological out, I just simply said cesspool of evil. I was using that in a synonymous way with the idea that the system, the ideology, what's pushing forth the specific locations of the schools. And I think that's where it is so dangerous and so hard to push back against. So I don't deny that in specific schools, there are undoubtedly godly teachers and students, administrators. In some schools, it's better than others. And so I thank God for those points of light and those witnesses and ambassadors in those schools. And you can see change and you can see environments adjust in specific locations. I readily admit that. We saw that with our children who went through the Ankeny school system. There were years in which a Christian witness was much stronger and felt because of the efforts of many people in our community. There were other years it wasn't. But I do think that the system behind the schools, this, and you may want to use the word bureaucracy, or you could even say agenda, I think that's what really should be evaluated. And to what degree can those things be okay to promote and push? To what degree can you live with and encounter that and interact with that and counter that? Those are the questions that every family has to wrestle with. And here's what I want to stress and contend. And I would say this to the individual writing this question, which I think he would agree with this. What I'm asking for and calling for is for every family to examine and evaluate on a regular basis their educational choices. I don't think anyone, whether they choose the public school system, the Christian school system, or you could use the word private school or charter school, or the homeschool system, I don't think anyone gets a pass from evaluating their current educational choices and asking, is this really meeting our needs? Is it working? Is this the best thing for our family? And so just because last week I brought out some of those things ideologically that are behind and underneath the public school system, I do think there's freedom that families have to then make their choices. I agree with that. We did. And hear this well. We would evaluate regularly, and we had really good friends who disagreed with our decision to send our kids to the public school system. They felt like there was really only one or two options. That was either a private school, and I think they would say a Christian school, or a homeschool. And yet we stayed in really good relationship with those people. We were friends with them, in the same church with them. And that's true today. I'm in conversations even now with families on all fronts on this, some who hold some really tight opinions. They would say they're probably more than opinions. They would say convictions. And they would even say that they should extend to other people probably. There are others I'm in conversation with who have my view that this is an area of freedom and it demands a lot of evaluation, and they, in turn, need to be very involved. So I just want to encourage you, as we think about stewarding our children and who's fashioning them, we have to all admit there is a group of people that get a lot of time with our children. And at what point does that counteract what we're trying to accomplish? And when you cross that line, you have to make some difficult decisions. And you have freedom in these areas. But no family, I think, can be exempt from examining the issue at play. This is why I say, let's stay at the table and have the conversation. This kind of conversation, I think, prevents isolation. It keeps us engaged with each other with grace and kindness. It brings insight to the table, helps us understand where we are and what we're going through. There are financial issues for some families. There are location issues for some family, possibly. There's a number of issues on the table for many families. I want to, again, encourage all of us as we steward our children to do this as a body of believers. First of all, just engage with the conversation. I think, and not feel defensive then in the choices you've made within the freedom you have. I know Julie and I both had to really just kind of settle in with grace, with contentment into our decisions and the freedom that God had given us. And so keep the conversation going, talk about issues in all of these different systems, and then settle in comfortably, so to speak, under God's grace and authority into the decision you've made within the freedom you have. And that way, you know, we're not everyone trying to walk on eggshells, or we're not acting defensively, or, you know, we're not being guarded in an odd way. I'm always reminded of the verse that says, to his own master he stands or falls. This is in one of the Corinthian letters, I believe. And Paul there is saying that at the end of the day, it's the Lord to whom you answer. And so in areas of freedom, we must make the wisest decision and then be responsible for that to the Lord. And so to this individual, the first thing I would say is this. Yes, to families who are passionate about having their children in the public schools. And that could be brought about by a number of factors. But to these families, we as a body of believers can practically encourage you with your decision by this. Let's keep talking about all the educational choices available and how we can best make sure we're stewarding our children. And if that's where you end up, under that freedom and within, you know, God's guidance and His Spirit's leading, man, more power to you. And we'll help you stay involved in the school. We'll encourage you to interact with your teachers and administrators. And so there is, action to your intentions. There's feet to, what your words will say. Now, let me just further expand on this a little bit with some personal examples. Just last year, in fact, I went to our school board. And I spoke one night at the school board. That's not a great thing or a hard thing to do, but it was on a night in which they were debating some very tense cultural issues that were invading the school. And so I felt really motivated. I felt, in fact, convicted and drawn, led by the Spirit to go and express a very conservative stance on these moral issues and how it was affecting our schools. But I wasn't going to the principals. I wasn't going to the teachers. Many of our schools have several people who love Jesus and are teachers and students and administrators, but I was going to the school board. I was going to that ideological area that is responsible for the agenda. And so that's where I went and spoke. And just so you'll know, I was the only conservative voice there that night, and it was packed. They had an overflow room. Many people spoke from the progressive and liberal, and I would even call it the immoral front. I was the only voice for a sense of moral sanity on about two or three issues. I had a speech written and prepared. I still have it. I didn't get all the way through with it. I thought I had it timed pretty good, but I went over time. And as they warn you, they'll cut you off, and they did. But it was an intimidating scenario in some ways because I was the only voice. And the minute I began to speak about biblical values should be what the bureaucracy or the administration of the board members, you know, that's what should drive us. It got very quiet in there, and not many people were friendly at all. And so I share that with you because the tendency could be to think, well, I guess Todd's just against public schools now. That's not what I'm saying. I think it's an area of freedom, and some would disagree with that. Here's what I'm saying. If you hold to that view and you don't want to be isolated or feel isolated, then stay in the conversation and then put feet to your words and be involved. And this is why I appreciate so many of our teachers and students and families who are involved. I know when our kids were in school, we would see the teachers regularly about things such as, you know, the teaching of evolution, and we'd express our views on creationism, sexual education, and we would always take our kids out of those classes because that was our job to teach them. And so though we utilized the public schools, there were times that we just did what we knew was right for our family under this, under God's guidance and within this freedom. And so those are examples of putting feet to your prayers and staying in the conversation so that you're aware of what's going on and that you're engaged and involved even when your kids are in the public school system. So I hope you hear that well. I don't think anyone, regardless of their school choices, would say, well, we should make that decision without thinking and without evaluating. And that's what I'm calling all of us to. As the culture continuously digresses, we should have examined all of our choices. I mean, let's be very honest here. Private schools, they have their issues. Some homeschools, the parents need to make sure they're actually prepared to homeschool. And so there's evaluation that should occur in every arena. I remember there was a set of years, this was many years ago, that I was helping with a homeschool network, and my role was simply to teach a writing class. And I recall one year when I did this, I had a number of 9th and 10th graders, and one of them could not even hardly write a sentence. So I was concerned that he would not even be able to accomplish one single assignment. And so I went to his mom. She was the one who was usually there waiting till the network was over. And I asked her, I said, can you give me some understanding on why your child is struggling so much to even write a sentence? And I won't relay the whole story except to say this. What came out was that for years when he was younger, she put him in front of a video cassette player and would just show him the videos, and then she would leave and either leave the room or sometimes even just leave the premises. And she said, that's where he learned. I thought he would get it. And so her idea of homeschooling was to have him just watch a set of video cassettes on different subjects. So he's now in ninth grade, and he doesn't really know anything formally or structurally about the English language. He just learned what he's heard. He's picked up through, you know, use. And so they, if that's the way they're homeschooling, they should not be homeschooling, right? And so I'm just, again, giving examples of how every environment that has time with our kids, it needs evaluated, assessed by the parents to see, is this accomplishing the goals that I'm after? Am I involved? Am I interacting? Am I willing to put feet to my words? And if within your freedom under the Lord, by the Spirit's guidance, the public school is where you're going to continue to educate your kids, then do that being involved and willing to talk about the ideological, I wouldn't say just shift, but the ideological evil that's occurring that is being pressured upon all of our specific school locations and pressured upon our teachers and students. And if you can stand up well to that, which often that's what our job is, to stand up well to that, to stand strong against that, then hallelujah, praise God for that. I one more story to share with you about this. What probably prompted me to even share that story last week, which was this, basically that if our kids were school age now, I think Julie and I would have to, again, consider and evaluate, is the public school system the best environment for our kids? And I don't know where we'd land today. I told you that last week. I'll admit again, a lot of factors weigh into that, but it would be something we'd evaluate. But here's what led me to share that. Several months ago, one of our grandkids shared this story with me, that while they were playing at the playground, one of their classmates, they were just playing together, this classmate just shared that her two moms were having a baby. And to this comment, my grandchild just said, well, that can't happen. So this other classmate then runs and tells the teacher what my grandchild said. And the sense was, she made me feel bad, or we may use the adult word, like offended me. But the student, you know, the other classmate was like, you're speaking against my parents. What do you mean they can't have a baby? So the teacher comes to my grandchild and says, I need to see you inside, and is going to discipline her for what she said. And this teacher says to my grandchild that two moms can have a baby. And my grandchild says, no, they can't. And she kind of got in trouble. I'm not sure how it all ended. But that story kind of relayed to me. And I just thought to myself, wow, it's amazing that a grown adult as a teacher in a moment, one-on-one with the student, can't just say the truth, that the reality of biology and, you know, what's real. And so that whole thing just led me to thinking, what else is next? What's happening? So be aware that even though it's not my role at this point to go as the grandparent, I think her parents can fully take care of it. I was thinking, what would I do if that was one of our children and a teacher scolded you for stating what's real and biologically true, because that's what you're learning at home? And so there is a pervasive type of denial of what's real and true in some areas within the system behind all of our schools. And so I think that needs to be evaluated, needs to be looked at. And if knowing that, you can stay involved and interact and put feet to your words, and you can live out your Christian witness in a way where, man, you're fashioning and stewarding your children well, I think you have that freedom under the Lord's guidance. But here's what we don't have in any arena. We don't have the freedom to just make decisions regarding our children without thought and evaluation and assessment. And so I want to encourage all of our families as they steward their children. And last week, admittedly, I did choose that one arena to kind of evaluate. But in every arena in which our kids have influences and they're being fashioned, we should ask ourselves, how's this working? Is it fitting and aligning with what I believe? Am I able to interact and engage? Is it negative or positive? And at some point, you may have to make a different decision. That's all I'm calling us to. And I would encourage you to have that posture as you steward your children and become an even better generational manager.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.